Hello all and welcome to yet another edition of HRTech.sg's Tech Talks, where we talk to subject matter experts on all aspects in the realm of HR and HR Tech. Today, extremely happy to host Sudarshan Ravi, founder and CEO of Ripple Hire. Now, Ripple Hire has actually been creating quite a bit of ripples in the marketplace. You know, Ripple Hire is a cloud-based hiring platform, a leader in the recruitment tech space that has been helping enterprises in hiring talent effortlessly. So they have two niche products. One is Ripple Hire Referrals, which is a market leader actually in referral technology, helps companies in transforming the referral program from being a very, very reactive channel to a more proactive sourcing channel. The second product is Ripple Hire's Talent Acquisition Cloud Applicant Tracking System, a best-in-class smart applicant tracking system that actually caters to all the four user personas in an organization: the employees, the recruiters, the candidates, and the vendor partners. So extremely delighted to be talking to you, Sudarshan, especially when a lot of action is happening in the recruitment tech space.
Likewise, Sriram, it's a privilege to be here. You're creating some ripples of your own in the market. I'm happy to see your expansion into India as well as Middle East. Wonderful work there. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sudarshan. First off, what are the key business and talent challenges that you are seeing in the marketplace at this point of time, especially with COVID being not too much of a focus? What are the key challenges that you're facing, that your clients are facing rather?
Right. So there are, you know, essentially two challenges that I would like to draw attention to. One is attrition. Attrition was a problem in sectors like insurance, pharma, a lot of sales-oriented organizations. But attrition is now creeping and is rampant across the board, whether it's in technology, whether it's in, you know, even in niche and skilled areas as well. As a result, one challenge that I'm seeing organizations, CXOs, and talent leaders struggle with is, how do you deal with attrition? And the second biggest challenge, that's the flip side, is when it's a candidate-driven market. As a result, how do you enable or attract or convince the person you select to join the organization? So joining ratios have plummeted, and it's not just India. We are seeing signs in markets that are now candidate driven, especially in technology, in parts of Europe, in parts of US, where joining ratios are a problem. And it's an acute problem in the Indian subcontinent, for sure. So if I have to look at it, organizations and leaders are essentially talking about, how do we hire talent that joins and stays? Because it's not just about convincing people to come over, but actually dealing with early attrition and then subsequent attrition as well. So those are the trends and challenges I see. What about you? What are some that you are coming across?
The key challenge that we essentially are seeing is that a lot of the companies are in a very, very hybrid or 80-90% remote work environment. Mm-hmm. They're really struggling to do that portion after hiring, which is the 0 to 180 days, which is very, very critical for a person to come on board and get engaged, is an area where we are seeing companies are really struggling and trying to do a lot of things to enable that.
Right. No, I agree with you. And that's why you can see early attrition happen. Because in the past, belongingness is a feeling, right? When I come into an organization, I feel like I belong. And that feeling is created often by us connecting with each other. And in a hybrid world, in a distributed world where you sit and stare into a screen, it's not easy to create that belonging or that feeling. Especially when you're peppered with a lot of choice. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
I agree with you.
So it's not just about hiring, it's all about creating that employer brand, which helps you attract more people into the funnel and also ensures better joining. So that's a very interesting point. So I just want to understand one aspect from your perspective, after having worked for over a decade with clients in this space, right? What why do HR teams hesitate to invest in technology for the HR function and more specifically for the recruitment function?
So actually in the more recent past, I am not seeing that hesitation, especially in the last 6 months or so. But to answer your question, right, I'll actually have to go back a little bit to the psyche, right? Especially of enterprises, right? You know, somebody like a Facebook, when they were a startup, would say fail fast. But if you see in an organization that's an enterprise that's mature, that's been around for a while, failure is not tolerated. The ability to make mistakes is not tolerated. In fact, if anything, and it also boils down to how organizations are judged. If I'm a public limited company, I live quarter on quarter, which means I, as a CEO, am judged quarter on quarter. As a result, the entire organization has to show impact. And oftentimes, you know, as a result, a lot of organizations take tactical steps and tactical levers, right? They don't think strategically. Technology is essentially a strategic driver of growth. You know, it's the same thing. Like if I have to take an example, right? Like if you look at the industrial, now, if you look back, we can't see ourselves, you know, making products by hand when everything is made by machine, right? But if you're in an era where we have to report 90 days, we are not going to take the effort to go create a factory and go through that, whereas add people. So I think from a psychology or a psyche standpoint, culturally, if we are open to more mistakes, we'll be a lot more open to, you know, taking on strategic levers that have long-term impact versus short-term impact. Second is also the fact that technology in itself, if it's ROI positive and if it delivers results in the same year, can bridge that gap. So long answer, but I essentially see, you know, why companies don't invest has to do with the fact that, you know, there's just haven't seen enough success, you know, owning to legacy software, essentially coming in, selling to the C-suite and only delivering failure after failure. That also kind of is a barrier for them, because what they have seen in the past, whereas technology has changed by leaps and bounds in the last decade, right? But what they have seen is, you know, an era of ERPs and CXO selling, whereas ground up products that obsess over a problem are just not delivered to them for success. So,
yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much, Sudarshan. That's a very valid point. In fact, technology is truly a strategic driver of growth, and predominantly the focus has always been on sales and marketing functions. Now this pandemic has brought the focus on the HR function. So I'm sure that, as you mentioned, technology will be adopted faster.
And you know what, Sriram, I love just one thing. I love the fact that technology has brought the focus back, or the pandemic has brought the focus back on the HR and the TA function, because it was long overdue, right? Like if you see, a person in TA essentially impacts the top line or bottom line with every single hire they make, right? And if there is somebody who contributes to shaping an organization, delivering results, it's people. And this is the function that brings people to the door. So essentially every TA person, I think the pandemic has given them their due, and I'm really happy because, you know, there have been recessions, there have been disruptions, there have been challenges, but I feel good about the fact that TA has been put front and center in most organizations now. And you don't want a pandemic to cause it, but there are always some positive outcomes. So
that's right. Earlier, TA was measured more on offer and joiners ratio. Today, a lot more companies are actually focusing on revenue loss as a metric for the recruitment team, which is helping them in this endeavor.
Right. Exactly.
I wanted to understand, right, how do you work with your client HR teams to ensure that they get buy-in from their leadership for investment in HR tech? Do you do anything specific for the HR teams?
So firstly, we are fortunate that, now I'll talk about both our products. We're very fortunate that both our products are ROI positive within the first year. So one is from a pricing model standpoint, we structure our pricing in such a way that they go in, there is skin in the game, And as they see success, they share value with us, which means that the cost of the investment is limited, which makes the ROI a no-brainer. Now, let's look at the flip side of it. The second side of it is, how do you convince your leadership, right? And especially in a category creating software like employee referrals, a lot of people just did not understand how do you put the metrics together. But in reality, referrals drive better retentions, 12 to 20% better joining ratios, and you know the cost, you distribute wealth within the organization, and the cost per hire is positive. So when you combine, you know, all of these elements into a simple ROI calculator, it becomes very apparent, especially since you mentioned revenue loss, it becomes very apparent that you can kill, you know, and you can improve or reduce your revenue loss simply by having a strategic lever on referrals. The second facet on the technology front, on the ATS, ATS is a lot more straightforward, right? Now, ATS is, you know, an established category. People have technology budgets against it. But, you know, the good news for us there is, you know, the least candidate experience score on Triple Hire is 4.7. And, you know, a great candidate experience, 4.7 on 5, a great candidate experience drives better outcomes. Quality hiring, you know, it results in joiners, it results in people staying. And I think what that does is largely helps organizations pay off for itself within the same year. So the way we structure ourselves and the way we help client teams is to essentially look at it and say, hey, you're already impacting top line and bottom line. And using our technology, here's how you'll move the lever, which makes it very easy for them to go in with a business case to say, here's the product, it's best in class. Here's the investment, and in X months, I will repay it. And at the end of the month, I'm going to write a story with you, which shows the positive impact that we've made in terms of returning money to the function, right? Which is what TA and HR teams love when they work with us.
Fantastic. Very nice. So which leads us to the next point, right? With all of these happening in the market, a lot of adoption of technology, how do you visualize the post-pandemic workplace to be significantly different from what we are seeing right now?
Right. See, when I look at post-pandemic, right, and I think organizations look at this in two binary sets. Like, you know, people look at it as remote and people look at it as in office. And I know there is a hybrid that is hanging in there, but reality is that the mindset is either organizations are remote first or office first, right? It's got to do whether you're a low trust country or a low trust organization, or you're a high trust country or a high trust organization. And I believe what will happen is that in the post-pandemic, you know, the pandemic threw new problems. You know, we were building software for distributed workforces. Suddenly the entire world became a distributed workforce where every company had to have people in like hundreds of locations and thousands of locations, depending on the size. So the way I see the pandemic, post-pandemic shift happening is that the pendulum will swing, right? And it's economics. Naturally, what will happen is that when you go towards, you know, organizations, some organizations will force people and say, you have to come. You know what? Then they will start taking stronger actions in a bit to push, you know, going back to the same way. But then newer problems will emerge. And I think somewhere it will settle down into a hybrid, because the reality is that, you know, there are benefits to both, and it's less friction for an employee to go from office to working from home, because, you know, you're taking lesser effort to get to work, to get started. You have more time to do things. You have a better quality of life, but you lose out on learning, which is a longer term impact. And moving back to the workplace, leaders will have to struggle with convincing people that there is value, right, in coming and having osmosis, learning from each other, you know, brainstorming, building teams, while you have to deal with the short-term pain of moving back and starting to travel again. So I think, you know, the pendulum will swing. We will see a lot of organizations go to the other extreme, and you will see larger giants take that on. But effectively, I think it will settle into some form of hybrid, because there is really no one way anymore. So,
Fantastic. Hybrid workplace, and I like the point specifically where now the leadership has to take specific effort in communicating to the employees why they need to come to office. And that value communication is becoming now critical, which earlier was taken for granted. I think I really like that point. So some of the things which were as taken for granted earlier now need to be communicated explicitly.
Conscious, right? You have to be conscious about it, because people, how do you, it's easy when you're in a room. It's harder when you're on Zoom. Even harder when you're on Zoom in different locations with different bandwidths and different people having different communication styles. So, yeah, but interesting for sure.
See, one of the aspects that we have always been find HR team struggling is to present the ROI for their investment in the talent function and present it to the leadership. Right? HR teams always have been very instinct-based, gut-based rather than data-driven focus. So they have always struggled on ROI and presenting it to the leadership. So the leadership never invested in technology. How do you encourage HR teams to be more data-driven in their approach and more tech-savvy?
I believe HR teams are tech-savvy. And I will explain why. Technology is all around us, right? We order food through technology. We watch movies through technology. We order a cab through technology. We've been looking at restaurant reviews through technology. And likewise, if you look at, you know, consumer tech, it has been at that level of user experience that anybody and everybody has been adopting it. So I actually believe that the onus of, so the problem is not with the HR fraternity not being tech savvy. I think if you build products that are usable and user friendly, we see adoption and we see results and we see people giving us great outcomes. So, but to your point, I do believe that HR has always been a selfless function. You know, if you look at TA and HR, they're usually carrying the can for most problems in an organization. They are enablers. They want their business leaders to succeed. And in the sense that they're so selfless that oftentimes they don't stand up, shout through the rooftops and talk about what they're doing. And they do struggle with showing an R, you know, like, so it's, they do struggle with making a case because they're always making somebody else successful. And they don't necessarily stand up and say, hey, here's what I need to become or to help make you successful. Now, from a data-driven lens, I think talent acquisition teams are the people I interact with. And I know they're extremely number-driven, right? As a function, because TA is a lot like sales. But, you know, one of the things that I think TA definitely needs to get better at, and we as providers need to enable this, is the ability to build the right levers for them to showcase. Like, for example, what is 1% joining ratio improvement mean for your organization? Right? What if we can improve retention by 1%, what's the impact we can leave? Oftentimes, you know, like, for example, when you hire through referrals, you improve retention by 4 to 5%. But that's a huge impact to an organization. And oftentimes somebody else in the organization does take credit for retention, right? But the reality is that it's a lever that got introduced by TA because they started hiring through a channel that delivered more joiners that stayed, right? So if I can impact, if I can get you an early joiner, here's the actual quantitative impact in terms of revenue that we delivered. Hey, here's the impact that we delivered, because, you know, a lot of times these TA folks are dealing with escalations for things not done, which is often 10% of the problems, but 90% of the times they don't build a case to say, here are the things we've done and here's how the organization grew. And honestly, if you look at the top line growth of any organization or the bottom line growth, it happened because of the people that TA introduced into the door. So, you know, I wish the function took more credit. They're a lot more selfless. And as a result, I think making those cases should be an absolute no-brainer. And that's where I think we need to educate. And I think, you know, conversations like yours will help educate the fraternity, right, to talk for themselves and all the good work they do.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for the suggestion. And finally, the question that I have for you is, what would be your key input or advice to enterprises of any size, which has probably started their digital journey, digital HR journey specifically, in the recent times?
Few things. I'll start with something that Sunny Sadnani, my sales head, advises all our customers on. Technology is a strategic lever. Don't look at it as a case of automation of process. Look at it as an opportunity for transformation, which means look at the kind of leaps you can do, not just how you're going to, because you want the system to be used not by auditors, but by your function. Second, center of excellence teams, implementation teams, TA teams, the teams that enable the implementation have a lot going on. So be naturally empathetic, because everybody wants their agenda to get delivered. So what is important is prioritization. And if you want to see value delivery fast, prioritize scope and make sure you're coming to, you know, if you have a choice between wanting more and wanting less, take more in phase two. And that way you get to a goal line, you start utilization, and you continuously improve. Technology has moved, no longer the arcane world where you implemented a go live and everybody forgot about it. Technology continuously evolves, product teams evolves, and customer success functions are there along your side. So we always encourage teams to do that. And third, right? I think this actually has to do with the evaluation stage itself. When you're selecting products, you'll have to think about where the products are made. Where are the product managers sitting? Are they sitting in a geography that understands your problems? Or are they sitting in a geography where world of recruiting and talent acquisition is very different? Do they obsess about the problem? And when you present ideas, do they really focus on the feature or do they focus on the problem? And the reason I mention this is because, you know, if your selection is right, success is a guarantee. And unfortunately, a lot of products think feature vomit, where you continuously keep churning features is the solution, but it's actually not true. 80% of work is done with 20% of features. It's really about understanding if those features have been built to the necessary depth. And does the provider really understand your world and that problem statement really, really deeply? Because only then will they be able to consult with you to result in the transformation. And only then can you deliver, you know, a candidate experience score in the 90th percentile or more, right? So I think long answer, but yeah, I mean, obsess on problem and evaluation should not be about features, but really about whether your providers understand the problem. Second, think about, you know, respect TA COE teams and the teams implementing and help them cut scope and do a phase-wise rollout. And third, look for transformation, not just automation, right? So that's the advice, whether you're 500 on your first journey or you're 50 or 90,000, you know, on your nth journey, right? I think, you know, these would hold good, is the way I see it. So.
Fantastic input, Sudarshan. So if I were to summarize today's discussion, right, today's focus for the recruitment team is not just about making offers to candidates, it's about making offers to candidates who probably join, stay, and grow with the organization. Tech is a strategic driver of growth. Look at technology as an opportunity for growth of the organization and not just for automation of processes. Referrals is really largely understated across the industry segment. So referrals can actually drive better retention, cost per hire comes down, and actually with the remuneration that is given for referrals, revenue gets distributed within the organization. Post-pandemic workplace is likely to be very, very hybrid, and the leadership has to take effort in communicating the value of coming to office. So what earlier was pretty non-stated, it has to be explicitly communicated. The key aspect is from an implementation perspective, implementation go live is definitely not the end of the journey. It's actually the start of the journey. So it's not hooray, we have gone live, but hooray, we are starting the journey today. And finally, when it comes to selecting the right TA product, a TA tech product, it is important to identify the right features that the organization requires, right? What is the problem that you're trying to solve rather than starting with the solution in mind? That is a mistake most companies make. So a lot of takeaways for me personally from this conversation, Sudarshan. Really appreciate your time and effort for participating in this Tech Talk session. Hope to have you in our future sessions too.
Oh, lovely, Sriram. Thank you for those thought-provoking questions. I enjoyed it and very happy to see HR tech, marketplace go places. I think it's much needed. And I appreciate what you're doing for the HR and TA fraternity at large. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sudarshan.